bow our heads. Our great God and Heavenly Father, we just continue to thank you for who you are. You're a good, good Father. You've provided for us. We have our food, we have a shelter. Lord, how can we not but say thank you? So this morning, as we give of our monies, we ask that you will bless it. As we've given of our time, we ask you will bless it. People have also given of their talent. We ask that you will bless that, Lord. For all that you've given, Lord, we just give back to you because it's from you in the first place. So we just thank you, Lord, for all that we have. And we pray to you, Lord, that you will accept all that we've given to you and that you will use it so that your kingdom not only is magnified, but it's grown in New Malden and about across the world. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you. Thank you, Alf. Kids, you know, if you want to go over to my right-hand side, just by the curtains over there, then your Sunday school teacher will meet you there and take you across to have an absolutely fantastic time with them. It gives me great pleasure this morning to introduce our speaker for today. He's a man who is known very well. He's been in the church for much longer than I have. He's grown up with the church. But what I like about this person is he has a heart for God. He has a heart for the house of God. And he's always willing to adapt and change. And that's none other than Bob Mullins. So please give a big hand to Bob Mullins. He's a man who, behind the scenes, does a lot of things in the church. You may not notice, but when you come to the hall, it's clean. Go to the toilets, it's clean. When you come to the church, it's clean. Why? It's because of one man who is there doing, I don't ask him to do it, but he does it anyway because he has a heart for the people, he has a heart for the house of God. That's a great honor to invite Bob to preach and speak God's word. Over to you, Bob. God bless you.
That needs an adjustment, doesn't it? Cut me down, that's but you still need to cut me. Oh, it's horrible.
Try again. Yes, got me. One, two, three.
It's off. Yeah. No, I'll go to this. Cut that. Right, that's better. Social media is a wonderful thing, isn't it? Who's got Facebook? Yeah, another social media. Well, I've decided to give up online social media. Instead, I'm going to from FaceTime to MeTime. Yeah, so What I do is I when I'm walking down the street, I stop people and I show them a photo of what I had for breakfast. And then I tell them about what I did last night or last week. And things like that. You know, I've got 3 followers already. 2 policemen and a psychiatrist. But there, that's a bit of nonsense. We're in a series called About Jesus. We started this series with the question, who is Jesus? Then Sam went on to, what is Jesus like? Well, this week we're going to look at, what did Jesus do? The book of Acts starts with these words. In Acts 1, verses 1 and 2 in the NLT. It says, in my first book, I told you, Theophilus, about everything Jesus began to do and teach. But John 1:25 adds this. Jesus also did many other things. They were all written down. I suppose the whole world could not contain the books that would be written. One of the things that I do, other than stuff for church, is I'm a Gideon. And we go around schools and places like that and give New Testaments and Bibles away to people. And we show in the schools a video about connecting. I'll show it to you at church one day, but this video about connecting has some amazing statistics. And one of these statistics is that if you were to watch all the videos that were uploaded this week, just the videos that were uploaded this week, it would take you 95 years, 24/7, 7 days a week, 24 hours a day, 365 days, 95 years to watch the videos that were uploaded just this week. You think about that. How much social media is going on? How much video is going on? How much people are uploading? How much stuff is coming at us constantly, all the time? And Jesus said, I suppose all the books couldn't contain everything that Jesus said and did. The things that Jesus did are fairly familiar to us, aren't they? Where if you went to Sunday school as a child, you would have heard the miracles of Jesus. I mean, you talk to most people in the street and they will come up with one miracle, one particular miracle they seem to come up with all the time. And often it's people in the pub that bring this one up. They say, well, Jesus turned water into wine, didn't he? Well, yes, it's true. But that's just one of the things he did. And there are loads of things that Jesus did. And we can read about them in the Bible. And the Gospels give these good accounts. But we know by reading between the lines, if you want to put it that way, that there was so much more. So much more that Jesus did that didn't get written down. I mean, when you sort of think, well, what did you do today? Well, I talked to Freddie. I did the washing. I washed the car, you know. And you can list three or four things that you did. But if you were to sit and write down everything that you did, it would fill pages. And what we do can actually, you know, be much greater than what we actually remember. If somebody asks you, what did Jesus do? What would you tell them? What did Jesus do? And sometimes we find that quite difficult to put into words. Some of John the Baptist's followers came to Jesus and they did ask that question. John the Baptist, who was in prison, heard about all the things the Messiah was doing. So he sent his disciples to ask Jesus, are you the Messiah we've been expecting? Or should we keep looking for someone else? This is what Jesus replied. Go and tell John what you hear and see. The blind see, the lame walk, those with leprosy are cured, the deaf hear, the dead are raised to life. And the good news is being preached to the poor. But the question didn't go away. Throughout his life And throughout his ministry, this question kept coming back to him in one way and another. Even in his own home village, where they didn't take too much notice of Jesus, because their attitude was, well, isn't this Joseph, the carpenter's son? And they thought, you know, is he really doing this stuff? Is he really doing these miracles? Is he really making the blind see, the deaf hear, the lame walk, and raising the dead? Then one day, when all these questions were going through their minds, Jesus stood up in the synagogue and he said this: the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, for he has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He sent me to proclaim that the captives will be released, that the blind will see, that the oppressed will be set free, and that the time of the Lord's favor has come. He rolled up the scroll and handed it back to the attendant and sat down, and all eyes in the synagogue looked intently at him. Then he began to speak to them. The scripture you've just heard has been fulfilled this very day. Wow. You know, that really made them sit up and pay attention. They took some notice of Jesus. One minute, everybody's saying, well, isn't he just Joseph's, the carpenter's son? You know, he's just one of the local boys. Some of them were saying, oh, yes, he's doing wonderful things. But when he said, today, this is fulfilled in your sight, this very day, they're trying to throw him off the cliff because they realize he's saying he is the Messiah, because only God can do things like raise the dead and give sight to the blind and heal the leper. But let's get back to the question. What did Jesus do? I'm going to share four things with you. I could share a lot more, but I've got four. The first thing he did was he revealed the Father. John 14, 8 to about 10 says this. Philip said to him, Lord, show us the Father. That's all we need. And a lot of people say that sort of thing. You know, well, I would just need to see a miracle. I just need to see this. John's saying, show us the Father. That's all we need. We'll believe if we see the Father. That's what's behind what's being said here. Lord, show us the Father. That's all we need. Jesus answered, Philip, I've been with you for a long time, so you should know me. Anyone who's seen me has seen the Father too. So why do you say, show us the Father? Don't you believe that I am in the Father and the Father is in me? The things I have told you don't come from me. The Father lives in me, and he is doing his own work. Believe me when I say that I am in the Father and the Father is in me. Or because of the miracles I've done. It takes faith to believe what you can't see. Anyone can believe what they do see. And yet people will still question it. Faith, mighty faith, the promise sees, and looks to God alone. You look at Jesus, you see the Father. You look at the Father, you see the Son. The second thing Jesus did was he obeyed the Father's will. John 6:38 in Century English Version says, or Contemporary English Version, I didn't come from heaven to do what I want. I came to do what the Father wants me to do. He sent me. And Matthew 28 says this, for even the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve others and to give his life as a ransom for many. Most of us live life with an attitude of what's in it for me. But Jesus came to do his Father's will. He said, not my will, but yours be done. The third thing he did was he spoke the Father's words. John 17:8 in the New International Reader's Version says this, I gave them the words you gave me, and they accepted them. They knew for certain that I came from you. They believed that you sent me. You know, I would really love to have been a fly on a rock in the field where Jesus spoke, or a gecko on the wall in one of the rooms where he spoke, just to hear what Jesus said. And it's quite normal to think like that. But in reality, the reality is, when you pray, you speak to God. Is prayer just a one-way thing? Or is it, when you pray, does God speak back to you? My daughter, when she was younger, and was still to an extent today, when you talk to her, or when she came in from school, the first thing she would do would be, and it was like a machine gun coming at you. She would talk and talk and talk and talk and talk until there was nothing more to talk about. And then she would shut up. But it took quite a while. We can be like that with God in prayer. When you talk with some people, it's very difficult to get a word in edgeways, isn't it? And we all know people like that. Maybe I'm one of them, I don't know. But with God, when we talk to God, when we pray to God, I mean, who goes to their wife and just gives their wife a shopping list? Right? I don't say, darling, we need this and 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 this, and that's all I talk about to her. That's not a relationship, is it? But when I talk with God, I'm talking with the Father. I'm talking with my Father. Because as a child of God, I'm his son. And he's my Father. And he loves me. And the more I talk to him, the more I realize he loves me. But I have to have times when I'm quiet and I listen. And that is different for everybody. It happens. Some people like just to sit quietly. I find for me that the way I hear God best is when I'm doing stuff. So that in a prayer meeting, often in a prayer meeting, if you come to a prayer meeting in the hall, I'll be walking around with a little bit of cloth and I'll spot a mark on the wall. And I'll be praying away and I'm communing with the Lord, but I spot this and I do clean that. Or I'm just walking. I love to walk by the sea because God really speaks to me there. Sometimes I walk across Richmond Park and the Lord speaks to me there. But it's a two-way thing. I talk to the Lord, and the Lord talks to me. The fourth thing Jesus did was he lived the Father's plans. Or more accurately, he died the Father's plan. He not only lived and did all these wonderful things that we read about in the New Testament, but he died because that was the Father's plan. Because who knows that we live in a broken world? Our world has got all sorts of problems. Just this week, 300 or 400 people were killed in a tsunami because of an earthquake. And all around the Pacific basin, there are earthquakes and volcanoes going off. And you think, what is going on? The world is broken. People are broken. Just this year, there have been over 100 murders in London. Society is broken. People are broken. Families are broken. Relationships are broken. But Jesus was broken once for all of us, because that is how the world gets fixed. That's how the relationship between God and man gets made whole again. God did not send his Son into the world to be its judge, but to be its Savior. The Son of Man came to seek and to save those who are lost. The Father's plan is that we should be with him for eternity. John 14:2 says, "In my Father's house there are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you." What an incredible thought, that the God who created the universe, who created this world, who created you and me, he's preparing for a time when he anticipates that we will be with him in his house for eternity. Amazing thought. Ephesians 1:4 says, "God chose us to belong to Christ before the world was created. He chose us to be holy and without blame in his eyes. He loved us." He loves us. He loves you. He loves me. So, did Jesus do these things? Did Jesus do these things? It's yes. And it's no, not yet. You see, there are four people involved in all this. There's God the Father. There's Jesus the Son, who carried out the Father's plans. There's the Holy Spirit, who empowered the plan. But there's somebody else. You and me. How did I get involved in all this? Me? Yes, you. Because you were the reason that God made the plans in the first place. God loves you. You're the reason it was all planned. But we need to do something about it. We need to do something about it. I need to do something about it. You need to do something about it.
And here's what you can do. Number one, you can revere the Father. The Lord's Prayer starts with these words, "Our Father, who art in heaven, holy is your name." Hebrews 11:6 says, "Without faith, no one can please God. Whoever comes to God must believe that he is real and that he rewards those who sincerely try to find him." What is the point of going after God if there's nothing there to be got? Why have a relationship? Why seek a relationship if there's nothing in it? That's not our motive for going. But God is real, and he rewards those who sincerely try to find him. Secondly, what you can do is recognize the Father's will. Romans 12:2 in a hybrid version says, "Don't live any longer the way this world lives. Let your way of thinking be completely changed. Let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you live. Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect." That's an amazing statement. God's will is pleasing and perfect. So many people think, my life's a mess. My life's far from perfect. Well, if you start following the Lord, if you keep close to him and do his will, the Bible tells us that God's will is good and clean and perfect. And those are things that people all around the world are looking for. People in your street, your next door neighbours, the people that live across the fence at the back, people that live in the flat upstairs, they are looking for a life that is good and clean and perfect. And the only place that can be found is in Jesus Christ. Peter was still speaking on the Mount of Transfiguration, where they'd seen Jesus revealed in all his heavenly glory. And a voice came from this cloud and it said, "This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased. Listen to and obey him." The best thing we can do in life is to obey what God says. So we need to respond to the Father's words. Listen to and obey him. The final thing we can do is we can receive the Father's plan. Receive the Father's plan for your life. God created us all unique in amazing ways. Even my fingers were created unique because no two fingers have the same fingerprint. Even on my own hand. Isn't that incredible? And the ones on my left hand are different to the ones on my right hand. Amazing. God created you because he loved you. He created you unique. And because he created you unique, he created you with a unique purpose. A purpose that he has for your life. And more than anything, God wants you to step into that purpose, to start living that purpose. To all who received him, who believed in his name, he gave them the right to become the children of God. You've got As a believer, you have the right to say you're a child of God. I am a child of God. Not, I am a child of God. I am a child of God. And when trouble comes your way, when life tries to bully you, when people will try to bully you, you can do what you used to do as a kid. My dad's bigger than your dad. There's nothing that God cannot do. Absolutely nothing. I'm not what you would call a physically violent person. I've only ever won one fight. I've only ever lost one fight as well. But they only caught up with me the once. Because brave men run in my family, and jolly quickly too. But there was one time I can remember when I was at work, and this guy worked on the night shift. He knew I was a believer, and he absolutely hated believers. And one night, as I was walking through the garage between the lines of buses, the buses are parked very close together, not more than about a foot apart. I'm walking between these lines of buses. I come out the other end near where the buses are washed, and this guy's there, and he comes for me. You know how people move towards you when they intend to do you some violence, don't you? This guy was moving towards me. And I'm not a physically violent person. I don't know why. But as he's out advancing towards me, clearly aiming to hit me, I just said, "Stop!" in Jesus' name. And he froze on the spot. Absolutely froze. He could not move. And I just walked past and carried on. Wow. It's an unusual experience. It's because I had the right to say I'm the child of God. And you can have that right too. All you need to do is ask Jesus to come into your life, and he will. I want to come back to the verse we started with. I'm very nearly finished. It's Acts 1, 1 and 2 again. In my first book, I told you, Theophilus, about everything Jesus began to do and teach. Jesus has begun, but he's not finished yet. Praise God. Because he's working in you and through you and for you. And your life's not finished yet. You've still got things to do, places to go, people to speak to. God can still and is still using you. And knowing God, God will still be able to use you, even when you're no longer living on this earth and you've gone to glory to be with him. Because the Bible tells us we can make it our aim to please him. That's a good ambition. Make it your aim to please him. Finally, our Lord Jesus is the great shepherd of the sheep. The God who gives peace brought Jesus back from the dead. He did it because of the blood of the eternal covenant. May God fully equip you with everything you may need for the doing of his will, producing in us that which will truly please him through Jesus Christ, to him be the glory to the ages and for the ages. Amen.
Let's sing this song together. You're a good, good Father. Let's stand. All he wants from us is to please him. Please our Father in everything we do every day. Every day that we walk and journey on this earth. There's no better thing that we can do than please our Heavenly Father. Because he's good. Amen. Do you believe he's good? Hallelujah. Let's sing it.
Sing when I'm loved by you. Cause who I am. Cause who I am. So I am, you're a good, good Father. It's who you are, it's who you are, it's who you are, and I'm loved by you. It's who I am, it's who I am, it's who I am.
To know that you are so good. We thank you, Lord, for teaching us your word today. What an amazing God. You did so much, oh God. Books cannot contain everything you did. And yet, God, you love us, just us in our humanity. You love us just the way we are. And we thank you for that. That you never discard us, you never leave us, you never forsake us. But you always love us. No matter who we are, what we are, where we have been, God, you're always there for us. And God, as we go from here, Lord, help us have that consciousness of knowing that you are with us in our day-to-day daily life, in our day-to-day walk with you. Whatever we do, you are with us. Your presence is with us. And we can always call upon you because greater are you on the inside of me than he that is in the world. You are greater. And oh God, because you are greater on the inside of me, there's no problem or nothing that I'm faced. That nothing can face me, nothing can alarm me, nothing can destroy me because you are in me. And so God, we thank you today that we can go with the confidence of knowing that you are a good, good Father. That you will always be there for us. You will always cover us with the blood of Jesus. And we thank you, Lord, that this week will be a week, Lord, where we experience your goodness, your faithfulness, your kindness. God, that somebody's life can be changed because of the love that you put in us. That we can love somebody. That we can speak to somebody about Jesus. We thank you, God, and we bless you. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Now, if you need prayer, We have a team of people here this morning who will come up to the front. If you need prayer for whatever situation you're facing, that I want you to come up and they will pray with you and for you. Is that okay? Don't go away without being prayed for this morning. Remember, next Sunday, we have a guest, an amazing man of God who's going to speak. His name is Barry Roberts. How many know Pastor Barry Roberts? He's in the house next Sunday morning. Bring somebody. He's a dynamic guy. He's a guy who's real. His church is really growing. And God's got a message for us next Sunday. So invite somebody and bring someone next Sunday to hear Barry Roberts. Is that okay? Remember our stuff we do during the week, Wednesday and Thursday. We sing as well. God bless you. God go with you. Remember, we have some refreshments at the back there. And if you need prayer, please do come and we will pray with you and for you. Have you had a good day today? Praise the name of Jesus. Go with a smile and rejoice. God is with you. Amen. God bless you. Thank you very much, band. What an amazing job the band does every Sunday. They do an amazing job. Praise be unto Jesus. God bless you. See you again during the week. Bye for now.